Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience of owning them is a great one.
A new legacy in sound. JLab's new luxury over-ear headphones, seamlessly blending innovation and lab quality sound.
Over here at Fake Doctors Real Friends, we love our JLab Audio headphones. They feature over 70 hours of playtime, four different colorways to choose from, and three noise control modes. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Someday we'll be together.
Before we stop recording, is everybody's, Zach, do you have on air turned off? But
I do, Daniel. Thank
up?
You for my weekly reminder. It is off.
No problem. And does everybody have their windows closed?
My windows are closed, although I thought the bird chirping was a nice touch, but my doors
are in my backyard. I can't help it. It's
Daniel, as the executive producer of the show, I don't mind a little bird chirping.
It's my backyard. Okay. So I have we built a waterfall.
Right.
And an ecosystem has started to blossom in said waterfall.
Even with the
windows closed.
It's all right, Donald. Chirping. All okay. right, let's roll, Daniel.
No I'm rolling. Donald, are you rolling?
I am. It says 55 seconds into the podcast already, Daniel.
I've already got 10.9 megabytes of content for you, Daniel.
Wow. That's a lot of megabytes. I'm stoked.
Wow. The fact that you were able to put
everybody.
It into megabytes.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to the program. This is a Scrubs rewatch podcast. We are
with Zach and Donald.
We are quickly running out of episodes. Quickly running out of episodes, but don't you worry. We have a whole new plan for you. We had a big meeting about it. We had a very big meeting. Daniel, you weren't there.
I was not there. You are right about that.
I guess you don't come to big meetings about the future of the show.
I trust Joelle as the iHeart representing executive producer of the show. I know that she's
Joelle
going to represent both of our feelings.
Joelle was so glorious in this meeting. It went really well.
Joelle, how did you feel about the Star Wars corner?
I'm with Zach. That sounds like a different show.
And yeah. No, Joelle!
I want to love you and talk to you about Star Wars. That's a dream of mine.
Five minutes, that's all I need every week.
You need 15 minutes to make a show that can do ad sales.
Yeah, you can't sell a five-minute show, Donald.
You can sell a 15. So 15 minutes, that's all we need.
Why don't we have this out? Because I think we should just clear the air here, Donald, if you don't mind, in the spirit of just honesty. You feel like doing a separate Star Wars show, you don't have the bandwidth or space and time to do it.
Not even a little bit.
Okay.
That's really fair. You're a busy man. You got young kids.
Yeah, you got a busy life.
Not only young kids, I've got other jobs that...
He has a TV show on NBC.
Well, it's not on NBC right now. It's on Peacock.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
Where you can find it. So what you
but
need
isn't
to
it,
do...
But isn't it sometimes on NBC?
It is on NBC when the season hopefully is renewed.
When do you find out if the show is renewed, Donald? It's Donald, right?
It is... Zach?
When do you find out Zach? If the yeah with a Q?
I'm correct. Okay.
When
cool.
do you find out if the show is renewed, Donald? How will that go down?
I'll tell you, Zach. I don't know, to be honest with you.
No one's told you a ballpark.
I believe around upfronts, which is around Mother's Day, so within the next month.
May 10th is Mother's Day, I believe.
Something like that.
So you're gonna find out mid-May if you have a very lucrative job. and then you might not.
And then I might be unemployed, like it's so a lot many of actors pressure. Are right now.
It's a lot of pressure. This is the
freelance. It's a lot of pressure on my fam, on me and my status as the, you know, breadwinner of the family. That's right. The first pressure. It's also a lot of pressure on NBC. NBC, I know. You've got a lot of shows. You've got decisions to make.
Right.
But we know what the right decision is, don't we?
I thought the ratings were good with this show, right?
The ratings are great with the show, but television ratings don't matter anymore. It's all about streaming ratings now. And so what we do, you know, the however many people that watch television now, the traditional way, that number has diminished so much that they look for, you know, what did the show do in 30 days instead of what did the show do that night?
Hmm. Got it. So it isn't like you can say, hey, holy cow, look at the numbers we did, because the powers that be are looking at what the streaming numbers are. And
right.
And so you could have a show
30 days per show, though, also per show, 30 so days could, per show.
You could have a show that's doing very well in today's numbers in its live slot, but still not get picked up because it isn't performing well on the streaming platform.
In the streaming side of things, because that's where everything has to live now.
So that's tough. That's you're living in a bit of a limbo state until you find out.
Until you find out, yes. But the great thing about network television is they still do long seasons, you know what I mean? So there's still like 22 episode seasons on network television. Streaming, it's 10, 8, 6, sometimes 3.
Oh, I love listening to you count.
You know what I mean? I'm going backwards. I don't know.
No, I see. I'm following the downwards.
Okay. Cool.
One.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. one show's picked up. The count.
Well, I hope for your sake, you seem to, money aside, you seem to really enjoy the show. So for your sake, I hope
it gets really do
up.
Enjoy working with Mike O'Malley and John Cryer and Abigail Spencer. I like going to work and I like being myself in front of the crew. You know what I mean? I like. Yeah.
Well, you're also such a performer, and the ad benefit for you of doing a multicam in front of an audience is that you get the feedback and the laughter and the joy from the audience, which I think is probably very good for your mental health.
Absolutely. So NBC, do it for me and my mental health. Thank you.
Yes. Make your decisions. Isn't it crazy that somewhere one person is just going to look at a spreadsheet and be like, no.
Nah.
And then all those people.
Out of a job.
Or in the case of this Coyote, what's the Wile E. Coyote movie that got canceled? It's like all of those people put so much work into that movie, so many years, so much blood, sweat, and tears. And someone looked at a spreadsheet and said, you know, if we just never released it and took a tax write-off, we could recoup a lot of money. And just, I imagine one or two people were like, all right, do that. It's just so amazing in I know in all business, I'm sure, but in Hollywood, how many huge decisions that affect so many people are made in that way.
What's crazy is that it's still art, you know what I mean? And people are betting on art before it's even put out, you know what I mean? Before the art is even viewed by the public, it's already being sold and or deemed unworthy of being art, you know what I mean? This isn't real art, you know what I mean? Like, but this shit is all art, regardless of what you make, regardless of what, if you got a story to tell, everyone has a story to tell. And if you're brave enough to put it on some type of recording and release it to the masses, dude, that's art. You know what I mean? And who is anyone to stifle it? That's how I feel.
Yeah, well, there's so much money involved, so you do have to understand the capitalism of it all. It's just, in some of these cases, it's so sad when you think of basically artists are in Hollywood are stocks, and it's just how it's so fascinating when you zoom out and think of us all being traded up and down like stocks.
Yeah.
Your show is a stock.
It is.
The Wile E. Coyote movie is a stock, and they buy and trade and sell it. That's how the town works.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you get what you want, Donald Faison.
You know, I hope so too. Life is life and it is what it is. And
you'll always find another job. You're very funny.
I hope so.
And listen, one thing I can say for sure is that talented people work. Sometimes they have more work, sometimes they have less work. But if you're talented and you're kind, you will find work.
I
think you're talented
that.
And kind.
Oh, you know, some people might disagree, I'm sure. But hey, I
don't think there's anyone that wouldn't say
I accept and receive it from you. Yo, can I just say one thing?
Yes, it's your show. You can say whatever you want.
I want to switch subjects real quick.
Okay. Is it about Star
Remember
Wars?
Remember how last week? No, it's not about Star Wars either.
Okay. We were on a call, audience, a big, big call with like 10 people from my heart.
And I wanted Dave Filoni.
Donald brought up Star Wars no less than 5 times in a half hour Zoom call.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
I wanted Dave Filoni.
Yeah. And we were talking about future guests, and Donald's main request was Dave Filoni. If anyone listening knows Dave Filoni,
he's going to say no now. He's going to be like, get the fuck out of here.
No, he likes you. Listen, of all our listeners, many of whom are in Hollywood, if you have any connection to Dave Filoni, Joelle, what's the email address? Or you can slide into Joelle Monique's DMs on Instagram.
I will not see your DMs on Instagram.
Oh, okay. You don't read the DMs. Okay, go ahead.
Very private. Please don't send me things. Okay. But you can email us at scrubsiheart@gmail.com.
Scrubsiheart@gmail.com. Donald, calm down. We do have professional means of reaching out to Dave Filoni to make Donald's dreams come true. For those of you who don't know, Dave Filoni is the head of Lucasfilms who decides all this Star Wars stuff that is so important to Donald.
But he's also a creative over there also.
I don't mean to minimize his contributions to the Star Wars universe, Donald.
You don't have to roll your eyes either when you say it.
I'm just saying that we are going to try the professional means of reaching Dave Filoni. But in case anyone listening is like Dave Filoni's best friend, please help us out for Donald.
Anyway.
What were you going to say before I took us on
this tangent? I have discussed. So last week I was talking about how there's nothing to watch.
Yes.
So I revisited.
What?
Dune Part 1.
Oh.
Dune Part 1. Okay.
And?
Well, I always loved it.
Oh, yes. Great.
And now the sequel has just dropped.
And did you watch it?
Just-ish, but yes.
Did you watch it?
I've watched it twice already.
You watched the sequel twice already. Okay, good. We finally found some content that you like.
That Charlemagne is one fucking charming Chalamet? Young man. Yeah.
Charlemagne.
However you say his name.
Charlemagne. I was like, I honestly thought that might be a character in the movie. And I was like, oh no, it's Timothy Chalamet. Yeah.
Timothy Chalamet. Mm.
You like you some Chalamet?
He's one charming young man.
He's Sana Gaib.
He's Sana Gaib. How many times have you watched it, Daniel?
Just the one time, but it was
Have you
incredible.
Seen? Okay, I've seen. You guys know how I refuse to go to the movies now. Sorry.
Yeah. We know all the reasons, yes.
I wish I would have saw this one in the theaters.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
That worm so ride alone, my God.
Oh, my
Holy
God.
Holy shit.
You said worm
This
ride.
Was a movie for the theaters.
Take it down.
Well, I'm glad, most importantly, I'm glad you found some content that you like, Donald. That's what I like to see. I like to see you. You love art. You love sci-fi. Mm-hmm.
This is really good sci-fi, too. This ain't no bullshit sci-fi. This is like the mother of all sci-fis. This is, I mean, other than 2001, A Space Odyssey, this is the mother. This is the one that Lucas, this is the one that everybody has bitten off of. This is the one that everybody is biting off of. Holy cow, dude. Holy cow.
I want you to just, if I could back up for a second, I want you to think that there is a lot of other content out there that you might consume that would make you as excited as this. I want you to be open to the possibility of watching more good things.
But I can watch this and see where everybody, you know what I mean? Even in the old one as well, I can watch this and see where everybody's getting their ideas from, you know what I mean? And why certain things are so important. And you know what I mean? Like this is, it's the story, every hero's journey, it seems like. This is it.
All right.
You can see all the tropes. All the tropes are there, but this is done very well. So shout out to Charlemagne for, is that how you say it?
Charlemagne.
Shout out. Shout out Chalamet for carrying this movie and doing a very good job. Same thing with Zendaya.
And our beloved Florence Pugh, Donald.
She's not really in this one that much.
She opens the movie.
Yeah, but she's not in it that much, man. You know what I mean? I know the next one, she's going to definitely be.
The next one, I think the next one is where she gets a lot more to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty clear there's going to be a next one.
They just announced the next one, I think. I don't know that they did.
Did they?
Well, the movie made $9 trillion. They're not going to make a next one.
I know that is at least the plan. It's a three-parter.
I haven't felt this way about a movie or a trilogy in a very long time. I hope they stick the landing. Please stick the landing. You know what I mean? I think the last time I felt this way was Avengers Endgame.
Well, he has said he wants to make a third one. He just needs a break from the world of Dune for a bit. Mm-hmm. Denis Villeneuve. French-Canadian. Very talented people as a whole. should we get into the Scrubs, Donald? Why don't you count us in like you do so beautifully?
I'm going to wait for the plane to go by.
Really? Because some of our listeners don't want to wait for the plane to go by.
Wait for it.
Wait for it.
Wait for it.
Hold.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of dogs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know.
This is the first episode of Scrubs that I'm not in any way. Now, I've not been in an episode or two before, but I think even my name was on as a credit. I think this was the first time I was only on as executive producer. I thought I did 6 episodes, but I guess I only did 5.
There's one more episode. You come back and you and Elliot are about to have a baby moon or some shit like that.
Oh,
and
that's
you have it at the hospital or
something. They must
shit
have
like
delayed
that.
It. They must have shot it and delayed it because I thought that I knew I had done 6. And this is number 5. Sorry, this is number 6.
There's one with the three. There's only one episode this whole season with the three of us.
Well, audience, you know more than anything from listening to this podcast that we like to go into each episode fresh. We don't like listening and watching from a place of having a specific point of view going into it. We like to clear our slate. We like to wipe our whiteboards fresh and clean as we take in a new episode anew.
Oh, boy.
And I would like to say,
are you ready?
With that caveat, yes. I would like to say this is probably the worst episode of Scrubs
I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it is a fucking mess, and it is abysmal.
Yes,
Joelle, you're laughing. Your thoughts? Yeah.
When I was watching, I was like, I feel like I like this a little bit more than last week's episode, which was really difficult for me. I was like, this is a slog. But this one was a little. To your point, all over the place. It was just it
what
messy.
The fuck? What?
I have no idea. What? The whole Cole storyline was just bananas.
How about the A storyline?
Where the fuck was talking to her that? Dad on the phone.
Where the what the hell is this?
What about? Can I just talk about like maybe the nadir is how you say that word, right? The lowest point. Nadir or nadir? Look that up, Daniel, because I've heard it both ways.
Okay.
I've heard it nadir. I've heard it nadir. I've heard it nadir.
I've heard both nadir and nadir. And I want to say it right for the audience. I want them to think that I know an SAT word here.
I've heard it nadir.
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 Not her. Nadir.
Nadir.
Nadir. It's nadir now.
It seems like it's nadir in American English and nadir in British English.
That's interesting.
It's in my British accent.
Thanks, Daniel.
Whichever you prescribe to.
Well, I'm an American, Daniel, so I feel like I should say nadir.
I will say there it in go. My British accent, nadir. Is that British enough for you?
Yeah, that's. I think our English fans will say that you nailed that.
Thank you.
I think that the nadir of 9 episodes of Scrubs may be Turk saying, "I can't believe you get to see JD naked."
I like that part. That was
I laughed at that actually.
What? Why do you want to see me naked? That's never been a
like we have. He wants to fuck. No, I don't know, dude.
The joke of our whole relationship is that we're heterosexual men who are silly and flirty in a way, but we love each other. We don't want to fuck each other. You don't want longing to see my cock. What the fuck is that?
Why are you so offended?
I just thought it was so stupid.
Why are you so offended?
You're literally earnestly.
I have fantasies that you long to see my cock. How come Turk can't long to see JD's cock?
The character's not making a joke. He's earnestly sad and jealous that Elliot he's gets
mad
this.
He's mad that she has the privilege of seeing you naked when she doesn't even know how to do any of it. She doesn't know about eagling. She doesn't know what eagling is.
You didn't think it was odd that Turk is longing to see JD naked?
I don't think that's what he's really saying. I think he's saying, yo, you're like not him at all. There's nothing him about you. And you get to bang? You guys get to have sex? This doesn't make sense. How does this make sense?
I think it came out weird. I think it's really off and weird because
the whole show is weird.
The whole joke of our relationship, which audiences loved and we loved playing because it is really us, is that we are these kind of guys. You and I do stupid shit. You and I do groin to groin hug and laugh. We don't want to fuck each other. I don't want to see your cock. Why is Turk longing to see JD's cock?
Not once. You've never wanted to be like, I wonder what it looks like.
I've seen it. It's fine. Right. It's so fine. Right. It's so girthy and fine.
What are we doing?
It looks like it might hurt.
Oh my word. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
This show makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, it makes sense, I guess, but it's like,
no, it's horrible.
Who does this?
Again, I want to, before we go into-
Who calls their dad in the morning and says, God. Dad, I just had sex.
And then calls him later while she's fucking cold.
While she's doing it. Oh, he's got me doggy style, Dad.
Yeah.
This is on ABC, by the way. On ABC.
This was trash. And again, before we go into the details, I want to- no disrespect to the creative people behind it. I know they were doing their best. The actors are all lovely. The writers are all funny people.
I was trash. I'm sorry.
Just doesn't work. And Donald was very broad, but that's not your
My
fault. He fell into
was
that.
Horrible.
Yeah, you are.
I'm sorry.
You have been away a long time.
I am very. You have been away a long time. This motherfucker, man. Straight.
By the way, Daniel, I need that as a soundbite on my sound machine. Donald's.
Oh yeah.
Donald's line reading from his Campbell's soup commercial.
No, it's not Campbell's. It's Folgers.
Sorry.
The best part of waking up
Daniel.
Is Folgers in your cup.
Two things I need for the soundboard are I need the song.
Dr. Acula.
You totally dissed me on
totally
the song.
Totally dissed you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like iHeart pays you decently well and you should deliver the goods.
You're right. I should.
I'm just kidding.
I know. It's okay. I'll say it right now.
And also I need Donald saying you have been away a long time.
Yeah. I can pull both of those
you
literally right now.
You have been away a long time. All right. So Lucy gets up at 5:30 in the morning and she's overwhelmed with her schedule. So she tells her dad
that she had sex.
She's trying to get all in. She has to call her dad at 5:30. And then she tells her dad that she's having her lady needs taken care of. And that she's in the middle of a real sexual awakening. And then Cole wakes up and says, once you wake up the troops, you got to storm the beach regarding his morning wood.
And then she's like, I do have time for that. I said, girl, what are you doing? Go to class. That's
well,
so
she really, I mean, one thing is for certain, even though Dave Franco's character is the worst, she really does love having sex with him.
She does.
Well, not only that, his jokes are starting to become charming now, too. Like, By the end of the episode, I like his character the most out of everybody. He's the funny one.
What?
Now. He's the one.
What are you talking about? I thought he was. I think he's the biggest douche in the world.
He makes me laugh so hard at some of the things that he's saying about being stoned.
Yeah, you were just happy because there was a weed joke. There was a weed
there's
joke.
That,
and you laughed.
There's also, you know. It's birthday time. It's balloons, baby.
What made those balloons go up?
I think it was the peace sign or something like that.
This thing is so stupid. I got to say, I was just on a Zoom call with a woman who was presenting.
There we go, the peace sign.
she was pitching me a show, and she was being really gesticulate. It was out of a comedy sketch. She kept gesticulating, and then like in the middle of an important point, like there'd be fireworks because and then
poor woman.
No, she didn't want them, Joelle. This was the
no. That's what I'm saying. It's frustrating.
No one knows how to turn this fucking thing off. So mm-hmm. she was like making a pitch to me, and every time she was like making a point, there'd be fireworks, and I just had to start laughing in her face.
Oh gosh,
that's horrible.
That's very funny.
Oh boy,
Daniel, we need to do a public service and tell people how to turn that off if they want.
Well, we can do it. Okay. And in fact, I'll insert it right here.
And Daniel's going to tell you if you don't want to see that new, what is it called?
They're called reactions. They're part of the new Mac OS Sonoma.
Yeah, if you don't want that on, Daniel's going to tell you how to turn it off right now.
Hey, listeners, it's DJ Daniel. Tired of those pesky hand gestures ruining your meeting? Trying to make a serious point only to have it interrupted by fireworks? Sounds like you have the latest Apple operating system, Sonoma, and need to turn off video reactions. And I'm going to tell you how. First, enter your chosen video conferencing app as normal. Once your camera has turned on, you'll notice a green video icon in the top right of your menu bar next to the date and time. Open the green video menu and click the icon next to the word reactions to deactivate it. If it's turned off, the icon will look gray instead of blue. And that's it. No more thumbs ups or heart hands embarrassing you when you're trying to ask your boss for a raise. Now, back to the show.
Thank you, Daniel. All right. So,
what a service.
Public dun 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 dun. There you go.
So at the end of the episode, I honestly think Cole is I started laughing at his jokes midway through. I'm like, "Okay, that's funny. That's funny. That's actually the better joke of the show." That's the better joke of
well,
the show.
Well, Dave Franco is such a funny performer that I like him so much, but I he's also such a good actor that I was like, I fucking hate this character. He's the right. worst.
But and once you get that that's who the character is, it became funny to me. And I started laughing at some of the shit he said. Like, once the whatever.
Once you wake the troops, you
gotta
storm the beach.
Once you wake up the troops, you gotta storm the beach. Meaning he needs
it's time to fuck.
He has quite a libido. Maybe you identify with him because he has quite a libido.
Well, that is his character. But I like the fact that, you know, there's something in there also. He wants to go hang out with a patient who's got some fucked up shit going on, and he's gonna shoot the shit.
No, because the guy has weed. Because the guy has weed.
Yeah, but nobody's gonna hang out. Nobody's hanging out with the guy. The guy's in the hospital for some terminal shit.
Yeah, but he's just there. No, he's got glaucoma, and he's only going there because he has government weed. We'll get there. You're jumping ahead. Turk's storyline is that he's mourning JD, and then there's a New Orleans style funeral.
Yes, where Turk sings.
And then Carrie Bechet says, he done gone to Zion?
Yeah.
That was really fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Cringy.
I mean, this whole show is really uncomfortable now.
No, wait. Now, I have a question. What do you call that type of funeral other than a New Orleans-style funeral? Is that what you call it?
I want to say homecoming, but I think that's just the very black aspect of it. This is just a homecoming.
I don't know. I've only seen that in reference to a New Orleans style funeral. That's how I picture it. It was a cool looking fantasy, by the way. They only used it for a split second. There's no fantasy. I think that's the only fantasy in the whole show.
Mm-hmm. New Orleans Tourism Board calls it a jazz funeral. Oh, it begins at a church or funeral home and leads the way to the cemetery. Mourners are joined by a brass band that plays music that starts off heavy and sad, but soon turns celebratory. Everybody
I think
dances.
That's so cool, by the way.
It's freaking awesome.
I would love a parade. Are you kidding me?
I would love a parade.
I love a parade.
I think that a jazz funeral is fucking cool. I've never been to one.
That would be an awesome way to go.
A celebration. You know
what I mean? A celebration, a parade.
Well, I told you the John Ritter story. I've always thought of that. In fact, I think I told you guys, right? When you had the USC marching band?
Yeah.
The USC marching, at the end of the memorial, the USC marching band came in because John Ritter loved the USC, and they played the whole band at full volume in this auditorium, and then it was so powerful. And I actually put that in Wish I Was Here, shot it, and then ended up not using it, but I don't know why. I wish I had, because it was really cool.
There's something really special about my culture. I remember seeing a movie when I was a kid. My mom loved it. And it was about this woman who was like she was the nanny to this family, but her daughter was actually passing as a white girl, but she was black.
Classic.
Yeah. But every check the woman got, she would put a little bit away for her funeral. So at the end of the movie, when her funeral happens, it's this huge parade for this woman who, I forget the name of the movie. And this is such a classic movie. The star of the movie won an Academy Award for it. So I think she's the first black woman to ever win an Academy Award. Am I wrong?
You're wrong. The first black woman to win an Academy Award was the woman in...
Gone with the Wind, right?
Thank you.
But wasn't she the person that played... She might not be the person that played this character then. I don't know.
Are you saying she's the same woman, but not for that role? Okay,
maybe. I don't know. I could be wrong. All I know is she puts the money away at the end of the... It's an old movie. It's older than I am. And it's probably came out when my mother was very young. And she used to love watching that movie. That one and Mommy Dearest. I don't know why Mommy Dearest, but that one and Mommy Dearest. No, why?
It was Hattie McDonald in that movie. Imitation of Life.
Imitation of Life.
Imitation of Life, starring Hattie McDonald. Yeah, I watched it in film school, and I was like, I didn't know we were making movies like this.
Back then, right? Back then, it's about a girl who's literally passing.
1934 is the original release date.
Passing in white America as a white woman, and she's really black, and her mother is like a nanny and all types of shit, and it's just a powerful. I just remember at the end she puts on this huge parade for her funeral, all the money that she put away for the funeral, and at the end it's this huge parade, and I always thought that's a way to go, man. Like, if you're gonna go out, let everybody celebrate this shit.
Horns, you know what I mean? I want brass.
Let everybody celebrate. Don't just be. And I mean, I dread funerals. I hate crying, saying goodbye. I want it to be, if I'm going to cry, yeah, sure. But I want to celebrate your life. I don't want to freaking, you know, mourn that you're gone, regardless of how you were taken or whatever. You know, I want to celebrate whoever. And I hope people want to celebrate me when I'm gone.
You honor me.
I'll fucking play a trumpet myself, baby, at your funeral.
I want you to play it out of your butthole, though. I want you to take the trumpet, stick it in your butt and go,
I'm not doing that. What would you like me to sing? Would you like me to perform at your funeral if you die before me? Wind Beneath My Wings?
If I die before you, I want you to do like something that, you know, when you were just up and coming, something that I want everybody to perform at my funeral. I'm not going
to
lie.
All right, well, what do you want me to do? I want to start rehearsing in case, you know, you go
early. Oh, that's fucked up. Do some type of monologue or something like that.
Okay. Something. Maybe I'll sing A Corner of the Sky from Pippin.
I prefer you didn't sing.
You want me to sing?
I prefer you spoke.
Oh, you want me to do like a monologue from a play?
Yeah, some shit like that. Something that touched
you. Hi, I'm Zach Braff. I'm 6 foot tall. I'm with CAA. And I'll be performing a monologue from Glengarry Glen Ross, Shelley the Machine Levine.
Perfect.
And then I go into a 10-minute monologue and like really just give it all I got.
I love it. That would be the best. That'd be the best send-off ever.
All right,
I'm joking, but that would be awesome.
I think your family and friends that didn't know or listen to this podcast would be like, what the fuck is Zach doing?
No, I think...
I'd have to say this was Donald Stein.
Surprised how many people... I think you'd be surprised how many people would be like, I'm about to buy impromptu shit. Here we go. Motherfuckers come out and know
what if I did like on. What if I roasted you instead? If I did like a Donald Faison roast?
Then you'd have to go on last.
Okay. Well, do we know who else is performing?
Well, definitely New Edition.
Who do you want? Like, if they're still alive, who do you want to perform? Assuming you can get anyone.
Assuming Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, sure. Okay. Maybe he makes a rap specifically about your life.
I want him to start from the beginning and go all the way to the end.
Yeah, start from Campbell, from the Campbell's.
Folgers, motherfucker, Folgers. That's the professional shit. I want him to start from the Folgers ad. I want him to start from the National Black Theater.
Right.
Take it from the National Black Theater all the way to death.
Okay. Got it. Well, I'm going to put in a request for that.
I don't know if he's still alive.
We don't know if he's going to still be alive.
Right. We don't know what it is. We don't know when it is. You never know.
Yeah. If it's soon, we could probably get Dionne Warwick.
And I never thought I'd feel this way. That's what you could do. You, Dionne Warwick.
Oh, yeah. That's what friends are for.
And that's amazing. You can remember.
Oh, I love that song. All right. So if it's soon, I will sing Keep Smiling.
Keep Smiling.
Keep Shining.
Keep Shining.
Knowing you can always count on me.
For sure. That's what friends are for. Come on now.
Who else do we want? Me, Dionne, who else?
I want you to get the originals. Well, they're all still alive.
Whitney's not alive.
Whitney Houston's not an original on that.
Who's the originals?
It's Dionne Warwick. It's Elton John, Stevie Wonder, and Gladys Knight. Well, you came and opened me, and now there's so much more I see.
And so, by the way, I thank you. For the time that we're apart, well, then close your eyes and go.
These words are coming from my heart.
And then if you can remember, he goes,
oh, and then Stevie. Song. Keep smiling.
Well, I can keep get those shining. People together. I have a contact knowing to get all those people you. Together.
What's that?
I can get all those people together.
Awesome.
For my funeral, if they're
really
still
could.
Alive.
I have a good connection to Elton
I can't
and Stevie.
Die. I'd have to die soon for that to happen, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much how important this is. I don't know how important this is to you, but if you want it, you're going to have to die sooner than later.
Right, if I want this.
Sorry, it's okay.
I'm going to have to croak now.
All right, on that note, we'll be right back. Just listen to this commercial. You're going to love it.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know that feeling when you just have something you need to get off your chest? It's like a rain cloud following you around in your life.
People all carry around different stressors, big and small. Everyone has stress, but we all handle it differently.
When you keep your emotions bottled up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
We talk all the time about how much therapy has benefited us.
Therapy isn't just for those who have experienced a major life trauma. Therapy can help everyone with daily challenges with friends, family, and other relationships.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should start with BetterHelp.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/RealFriends today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/RealFriends.
And we're back.
And we're back. All right, we have to return to talking about Scrubs. Now, Sarah Chalk is here. I guess the contractual thing for season 9 was they didn't want to pay me and Sarah at the same time. So if I left, then they could pay Sarah.
I don't know what the contract
was. I think that's what it was.
I didn't know
because
y'all was
I
was getting money like that. Shit.
Well,
we can't keep. We can't afford the both of y'all. So one of y'all motherfuckers got to go.
Well, I tapped out, and Sarah tapped in. That's clearly what's happened. There's no explanation.
Anyway.
There's no explanation as to why.
at all.
It is what it is.
I mean, even the young cast are introducing themselves to her. They've never met her. No one's ever explained why she hasn't been there.
Yeah, and
she's very pregnant, really, for real pregnant, not fake pregnant.
Isn't this the first time also that the show is now opened with someone else doing the...
Yes, so Carrie Bechet, in the title sequence, puts the X-ray, now facing the right way, into the light box. So there was some sad scrub score when... Sarah Elliott tells you that I said that I miss you too. And then Elliott refers to it as riding the eagle, which really upset you.
It triggers him.
Yeah, it would trigger you too, I think.
You don't ride the eagle, you eagle.
Yeah.
And you I don't think that, let's do the eagle. Let's eagle. Yeah. It's just eagle.
For those of you out there who like to eagle your friends, make sure you're using that correctly. You don't ride the eagle. You eagle. It's a verb. And we learned that JD and Turk had a pillow fight club.
You don't talk about that shit.
You don't talk about it. Denise is so fucking nuts that she jokingly tells her boyfriend that she's late with her period.
And then it turns him on.
He says that he vibes on crazy. Obviously, you or someone, one of you guys pointed it out that they're so obviously meant to be.
Donald,
you're the one who pointed out they're so obviously meant to be Cox and Jordan. And I really see that now more than ever. Like, it's like, oh,
even when he stands next to Johnny C, even when he's standing next to Johnny C, he's like I'm not going to say a younger version, but he is almost they almost look alike. Like, this is the direction the show could have went. You know what I mean? And everybody would have said, oh, I see where they're going. I'm going to be honest with you. I think my character is way too distracting. I think there are so many other stories they could have done other than Turk missing JD. I feel like this is something that we did before where he goes to Disneyland and, you know, it just seems, I mean, I get it. Everything, it's supposed to be poetry. It all has to rhyme and shit like that, but.
May I ask a question?
Joelle, please.
Do you guys think the show would be better if Drew was the lead character and we were following his journey?
Yes.
That's a good question. I think, yes.
I do, actually, yes.
I do. I think this is not meant to be controversial.
No disrespect to Carrie. No disrespect to her character.
No disrespect to Carrie. We've said 1,000 times that Carrie's a phenomenal actress, and I do take full credit for discovering her.
Okay.
No, she's an extraordinary actress and so adorable and beautiful and a sweetheart of a human being. I wonder if we were asking too much of the audience. Not only were we switching the voiceover, but we were switching to the female perspective. I wonder if it would have been easier for them to invest again in a young male intern? I don't know.
Well, I don't think it has to do with gender. I just think the character is the same character all over again. And
all right, that's better said. You're right. It isn't just it's not gender. It's going for the exact wide-eyed goofy person as opposed to trying a different angle. I also think that Drew just is stealing the show, to be honest. I think that he's the most grounded, the most real. I mean, it's a great lesson for actors, you actors out there. I mean, watch the difference between what we're all doing because we've leaned into all the jokes. And look at what Michael Mosley's doing. He's in a broad comedy, but he's playing it all straight. And it really makes a difference. And that's what we used to do before we leaned into the turn on all these jokes. Now, granted, some of the script doesn't help when Turk's longing to see JD's cock.
Yeah, I just think Drew, like, returning with somebody who was like, I'm not sure I can do this and I already failed once is so much more compelling than, I'm really excited to become a doctor. It's hard, which is sort of what Lucy's storyline is so far. Like, I don't really
know. And that's what it started out
what as, the issue is. Whereas JD, when he starts, is like, I really want to be a doctor. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to confront a lot of difficulties, but it's not like, oh, it's hard to be a doctor. It's emotionally, I'm so vulnerable. Being a doctor is going to challenge that aspect of me. But we don't really see that so much with Lucy yet. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm very also invested in Drew's character.
Also, we were interns. These are med students. And that, that woman who spoke about the difference last week really put that in my head. Because yet again, there's a scene where Lucy's being asked to start an IV in this episode. And we learned that a med student would never be doing that on a patient. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's also this difference, the fact that we were interns, we were further along in our process.
Yeah. We were capable at being in a hospital and working around people who were in need of
assistance. We were at the point in the journey where you're actually interacting with patients.
You can do this now.
Yeah.
You're allowed.
All right, Cole, this is what you were talking about earlier. He's going to go leave to hang out with a glaucoma patient because the guy clearly has legal weed. This is long before weed was as legal as it is now in California. But
weed is legal in New York, bro.
I know. I'm just saying it's such a different era that they had to clearly stipulate that it was government weed for a glaucoma patient.
Wink, wink.
And they're going to watch Benson, which for a lot of people, I'm sure they have no knowledge of what Benson is. But Donald and I are of the era where we watched Benson.
Da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Robert Guillaume. Da-da-da-da.
Benson was a... he was the right-hand man for To the governor. And the governor was kind of a goofy guy, right?
The governor couldn't run shit. I forgot the premise. Was a dumbass, and yeah. Benson was the one who was really running the shit.
But he wasn't just helping run the
state was. He was also helping run the house, like the White House and stuff.
The governor's mansion.
The governor's mansion, and that's where that joke comes from. Motherfucker, I ain't Benson. I ain't here to solve everybody's problems and shit. And
whose joke is that? That's you.
No, that's like I think it's like a Martin Lawrence or a...
Oh, all I know is that when Donald and I checked into our loft that we rented that we've told you about in what was probably 2000, the summer of 2000, Donald?
2001 or two.
There were two rooms and one was way better than the other. And Donald,
you got there first, so you got the way
better room. Donald checked in. He's like, I'm not fucking staying in that room. I'm not Benson.
So I slept... I slept in a hallway bed.
Outside my room.
Outside of his room with a
because sheet around the shit was so fucking, it was so rustic. I don't know if that's the word.
It's not the word. It was like, that shit was like straight. First of all,
it was an artist loft and the room, the place was giant. It's probably 3,000 square feet. It was huge, but it hadn't been redone.
I tried to sleep in there one night and it was the stuffiest room I'd ever been in.
The washer and dryer were in there too.
Yeah. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Nope.
So anyway, outside the room that I had chosen, there was like a day bed that was nice. It was like big. And so Donald just slept there.
I was like, fuck this.
It was so funny though.
I'll never forget that summer.
Yeah.
It's a great summer. That's one of my favorite summers of all time.
So Turk is finally teaching. I guess he got JD's classroom because he's teaching and there's a mix up with Lucy's slides. She mixed up ones from a bachelorette party.
Her sister's bachelorette party.
Right, where she really goes nuts. She really goes, that party got wild. That was like Laverne's above ground pool party.
I hate to tell you this, man, but bachelorette parties, depending on who the bachelorette is.
Really?
Them things go crazy. They get as crazy as bachelor parties, man. Crazy, I mean
sex.
Yes. And
police people, involvement potentially.
Yeah, like freaking
people lose their minds.
Yo, dude, I don't know what it is about. It's my last night. And then everybody else is like, well, then it's my last night too.
You know, you always hear the stereotype of men's bachelor parties getting crazy. And there's like
women's are just like that too.
And there's escorts or strippers. But I wonder what the real percentage of
ask Channing Tatum. You could ask Channing Tatum what the real. He made a freaking fortune off of Magic Mike. A fortune.
I've never seen those movies. Does he work as an escort?
I've never seen one of those movies. But It's about
gentlemen,
strippers.
What are we doing with our lives? These are classic American cinema. You need really? To see Magic Mike. It's
okay,
so good.
Well, shit. Let's watch Magic Mike. Maybe
and
we
then
can
go
talk
to the
about
Vegas
Magic
show
Mike.
Because
this
it's
is now going to be a Magic Mike
listen,
rewatch podcast.
Here we go. We're going to do a Magic Mike rewatch. Like, Joelle is happy as fuck. Look at this.
Dude, I would love to see some future take Magic Mike. Are you kidding me?
Joelle.
Hallelujah.
Joelle. What percentage do you think of bachelorettes hook up on their bachelorette party weekend?
Probably the same percentage, maybe even more than men.
I don't.
They call it a hen do in London.
Hook up with someone like 15, maybe less, 10, 5?
No, I say it's the exact opposite. I say it's more than men.
Really?
By like
you
5%.
Think it's more than
I
men?
I think it's 5% more than men.
That's like when we have the marriage counselor on and she said women cheat more than men. I said, what is happening?
Yeah.
My perception of the world. Crazy.
And
so it's
knows.
Possible.
She knows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all I know is if I ever get married, I hope that the bachelorette party / hen do is something very tame, like in Napa. We went for a girls weekend.
Yeah, that's where that should be happening. We went for a girls weekend.
No,
yeah,
I don't want to.
I used to live in Boys Town in Chicago. And so we would see just troves of bridal parties, like getting drunk. And then they would wind up like groping the dudes. The dudes are like, I'm in Boys Town. I'm not here
I'm
for
gay,
you. Please
dude, I'm not
leave
here,
me
right.
alone. And they'd be like, it's safe. It's not cheating because you're gay. It's like, it's still a human. You can't just put your hands on them. What are we doing?
Right.
Yeah.
You
I don't
can't
know.
Just
don't
put
know.
My penis in your mouth and me be gay and say, it's not cheating. That's
yeah.
get the fuck out
Wait,
of here.
Yeah, what do, you lady, think she, do you think that's what she was doing? Because they were like, there was a time
yeah.
where she had a phone
yes.
on the wall we couldn't see. He's like, what are you doing? She's
yeah,
like, I mean, it rained with $9. I'm like, this is insanely.
I inferred that she was blowing him.
That's what I thought.
Yikes. Yikes.
Well, and then Cox put that picture on the wall. And then she says, I made it rain. Move on.
$9 well, is not making it rain.
Yeah.
That
not
is
counting.
Not, yeah, that's
no, no,
a,
no.
no, that's a, that's
what
a five
qualifies as making it
and,
rain?
And $4.
When you make it rain, comma, is it single? Is it singles?
Yeah.
It can be.
Usually, I mean, you can make
like
it rain
it.
With hundreds. It just has to be a bunch
Whoa.
Of dollars.
Wait, but
it just
who
has
makes
to be
it rain
bunch?
With hundreds?
Rappers. Maybe,
yeah,
NBA
rappers.
Players.
Yeah, there you go.
Folks, lots of
rappers.
Money.
Wow.
I mean, you make it rain with a, if you took out, like, you know, $105 bills
mm-hmm.
and made it rain, people would mm-hmm. be like, oh shit, this motherfucker made it rain. That's making
Donald,
it rain.
Have you ever made it rain?
In a Gavin DeGraw video. I
directed by me.
I invented making it rain in a Gavin DeGraw video with Zach Braff.
That's
you,
true.
You can check the stats. Rain? You can check the stats. Before that video,
I don't know if
nobody
you invented
was
making it rain. No,
I did, motherfucker. No,
bro, by the way, this is now a time when, after this episode, you should watch on YouTube the Gavin DeGraw video for Chariot that I directed, where you will see Donald Faison make it rain.
Wow.
Great song, too.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Remember
that shoot?
That? Jamie King?
Jamie King is the love interest. Remember that shoot, Donald? That was a crazy shoot.
That was one of the dopest things I had ever seen you do.
Yeah, it
at
came
that
out
point,
good.
At
that
point, it was at that point I had never seen you. I mean, well, I take it back. You did direct that episode, but this was something that you had. You were completely like on your own, and all you had was Cabot, really. That's it, and me, and then everybody else. I didn't know who the fuck they were. It wasn't the normal crew and everything.
Yeah,
at least with Scrubs. When you directed that first episode, at least you had the crew had your back, the cast had your back. You knew everyone, and we were trying to make a great show. At this point, it was like, dog, I'm trying to make the best video for you, Gavin, and I don't know any of these people, and the set is not working the way it's supposed
it
to.
It wasn't. It was a nightmare. It was one of the scariest shoots I've ever been on because I had designed this whole video as a oneer without the camera cutting. It was a very elaborate moving set. And we spent a lot of money on the set.
It was
and
back in the days when MTV would let you do that too.
That was back in the day when there were still big budgets for videos. And we had about 100 extras. We needed a full day of rehearsal and we just didn't have it. And so we tried to do it all in one day. I remember it was like 6 p.m. and we hadn't shot anything. Which is called, in director lingo, a fucking nightmare. but then I pivoted because you have to pivot as a filmmaker when things aren't working. And I said, this is no longer a oneer. And guess what? We're gonna do it in pieces, and in between, we're gonna cut to really beautiful close-up shots of very handsome Gavin DeGraw singing into the lens. And so it'll be a series of wonders that are stitched together with a shot of Gavin singing the lens. And by the way, it ended up being a blessing in disguise because everybody wanted to see him singing in close-up, whereas the video didn't have that. But it was crazy. It was crazy.
Well, the video told the story of, you know, artist and how they get to the stage. You know what I mean?
How the machine works.
How they get from the beginning of it all to the stage finally, and how there's always that young someone in your life to distract you along the way. And sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's
Jamie King.
That's right.
If we had a day of rehearsal, which would have been so expensive, but I could have really done the whole thing as a wonder. It would have been cool. But anyway, if you're curious, check out the video. All right. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. This particular ad right here is one of the best we've ever done.
Oh man, I hope it's something for like, if you or a loved one has mesothelioma.
Oh my God.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved playtime off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval terms. Apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
And we're back.
We're back.
You know, I stopped watching as much CNN as I was watching because it's so bad for me. But I realized when I was watching it that all the ads were aimed at senior citizens. So I was getting targeted by all these senior citizen ads.
Yeah,
I never see young fun ads like our I don't watch sports, obviously, which is usually where our T-Mobile stuff airs. So I never even see like young fun ads. I just see ads aimed at seniors.
I didn't realize that a lot of old people stay up late too. I would think they would go to bed early because late night is when they start trying to sell you all of that old shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
CNN is constantly trying to sell me something that's like, I shouldn't clean my gutters because it's too dangerous for me to clean my gutters.
don't shovel. You're going to get and a heart
I'm gonna, attack. I'm going to get hurt. I mean, I know people do get, a lot of people get hurt cleaning their gutters, but I don't think the target demo for that campaign, but I can't tell you how many times I've seen the change to this product so you don't have to clean your gutters thing.
Life Alert commercial.
It still exists.
They got a new lady
who fell and can't get
fell
up.
Fell and can't get up.
Yeah, they retired
Holy
the old
shit.
Lady.
Well, she fell and didn't get up, I guess.
She never did get up.
She never did get up.
Oh, shit. She never did get up. uh, All right, here in more bad Scrubs episodes, Cole is convinced that there's rankings. That's all bullshit. He's tricked by Cox and Drew. And what about this? This was so stupid. Chop pants. So Turk wears sweatpants, or sorry, scrubs that say chop on them because he loves pork chops so much. Then Denise says, look, there's JD. And like the worst sitcom ever, Turk goes, where? Did he wear his pork chop pants?
No, that was not great.
Oof. Then Elliot says, chillax, my brother, which made me cringe a bit.
Even more. It made me cringe more than freaking the Zion thing, because we as the old crew should know better.
By the way, there's three moments in this episode where white people say things that are very cringy. And the second was chillax, my brother. And then when Turk is auditioning new friends, Kelso says that he wants a black friend to help him out with the sisters and so he can, quote, get my swirl on.
I'm all about the swirl, okay?
What does that mean, swirl? I don't even know.
I'm fine with swirl. Well, it's like when you mix chocolate and vanilla and you swirl.
Oh, yeah. Well, then you're it's a
the
swirler.
Name of, that's literally the name of the fucking ice cream. Swirl. Okay. Chocolate and vanilla swirl.
I didn't know what get my swirl on means. I just knew that it didn't sound right coming out of Ken's mouth.
Like, it means like when you dip your in some black, it would be swirling.
Got it.
Or anything that's not white. Dun, 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 dun. The more you know. But it has to be sex. It's not dating. It's sex. Swirl is sex.
Oh, it's only sex.
Yes.
So if I go on a date with an African-American woman, I'm not swirling?
That is not swirling. Y'all went out on a date. It's only sex.
When we copulate, we're swirling.
When you mix.
I see. When we become, when our bodies swirl together.
Sure. Have a swirl. Now, look, if you don't like to swirl, you don't like to swirl. That's you. Everybody eats their own. I'm just going to say this for everybody out there. It's okay to swirl if you do swirl.
Yeah.
Love has no color.
Right. And this is coming from someone who really has committed his entire life to swirling.
No, that's not true. I am the rainbow fucking kind. I've dated pretty, well, not the gay kind.
No, I'm just saying you're
I have fucked every, I have dated
every ethnicity. You haven't fucked the rainbow if you haven't had sex with a man, I don't think.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I said not the gay kind of rainbow fucking.
Yet.
Right, thank you. But
you're an equal opportunity person.
Absolutely. And whoever floats my boat, my wife, who it is right now, is the one that has me.
Do you ever ask your wife if you're trying to propose intercourse with your wife Casey? Have you ever said, "Do you want a swirl?"
No, I say, "Do you want some black dick?"
Zach, I love you. You're way too excited about that.
The man loves his wife. Listen, the man may every couple have a love relationship so strong. He's in love with his wife.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Go ahead.
We fight sometimes.
Yes.
And it's horrible and we say some horrible things to each other. But there is no person on this planet that I would want to spend the rest of my life with other than her. There is not one person. She has, I don't know what it is about her, but I really enjoy the life that we have created together.
That's
and I
amazing.
Don't That's so want to beautiful. Sacrifice that for anything.
How do you make up when you've had a bad fight? Are you the first person to say I'm sorry?
I say, "You want to see my black dick?"
No.
No, come on,
no,
be honest.
That's not what I
say. No.
I
what
don't
do you
say
really
that.
Say? No.
I've met really Casey and I don't think that.
I think now you're no, I think what happened
that?
Was I think
what
happened
was You don't think I say that?
I think what happened was I think what happened is you got vulnerable and then you felt like you had to pull up your masculinity and say something.
Maybe there was a bit of that in there, but you
all
know
right,
what?
So
that means nothing to the fact that you don't think I'll be saying that to her though.
I'm sure you do jokingly, but I'm curious for a real answer. When you guys have a bad fight, is it she that normally tries to make amends or do you do it?
We don't make amends. We just forget about it and move on. That's what.
Oh, that seems healthy.
Is.
Let me write that down. So
that's
you just
marriage,
forget
that's
about
what marriage
it.
Is. That's what marriage is. Marriage is this. I fucking hate you. I hate you too. I'll talk to you later.
Wow. I feel like it might be good to like occasionally talk it out and be like, hey, about the other night, I'm sorry. I was feeling this and you were feeling that. And I, you don't ever do that?
Yeah, but that's like, you know, that's the boring part of marriage. The making up, like, that's like fucking.
I'm just asking if that happens.
Yeah, that does happen, but that's not the fun part. The fun part isn't the I fucked up, my bad. There's no, even in the argument's the best part. Like the way that we, I don't know, like, yeah, sure, we'll have the talk of, she's coming home. Is that her? No. Yes, it is. The way that we have, let's ask her shit. Kate, hit the song, Demo.
Casey, come down here. I don't know nothing about raising these fools, so tell me what to do. I don't know nothing about raising these kids, and that's what it is.
Hi, we just played your song.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Casey.
Hi, Casey.
What were you? Were y'all just thinking about me and played it for?
No, what? Well, Donald, we were talking about when couples argue, and then it gets bad, and we were asking Donald. How, like, whether he or you is the first person after it's calmed down and all the emotions out to be like, hey, sorry about da 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 da. And Donald kind of implied that y'all just kind of move on and don't talk about it.
Oh, no. No. I'm trying to communicate throughout the entire thing, and he doesn't like to communicate. His way of, and he also doesn't like to say he's sorry and admit when he's wrong. Mm-hmm. So the way that I know when he knows he's wrong and he's trying to say sorry is usually because he pulls it out and was like,
no, Casey, he told us this and we were like, no. Not possible.
He pulls his penis out?
Did you tell them you pull your penis out when
you're
ready?
Yeah, but we thought he was joking. We thought it was joking.
Oh, no.
That's his way of making up with you. He pulls his penis.
He doesn't know how to say sorry, so he'll just be like, he'll ride it out for like 3 or 4 days, and then finally he'll be like, "Does this look good to you?"
But it sounds like you then forgive him. You guys never have the
I tried
like.
To tell y'all, y'all didn't want to.
Well, because you know what? Because I've already said and voiced everything. In my, I've communicated everything. I've already talked it out. I've already expressed every.
But don't you want him? Don't you want? Wouldn't you prefer him to be like, oh, "Hey, I'm really sorry. I fucked up because of X, Y, Z."
I would prefer him to do a lot of things, but that's not who I married, and he's. I know him better than the back of my hand, and this is how he is. And I will say, once that contact has been made or that's out of the way, then he's, I'm sorry. You know, I just act like that because of this. And I'm right. Like, well, just say that shit. You could have said that shit 3 days ago.
Right.
Saved us so much time. Oh, Casey, you're wow. Safe.
Really?
Casey, you really are. You're pretty. You're a pretty great wife. Patience, you're a pretty good catch. God.
Yeah. You guys have to remember we've been together how long?
Almost
since 2006.
Years.
I mean,
that's a long
this
time.
This is a long time. You know what? I don't have time to sit. I'm not deep. I'm not sensitive. So it's kind of like that's.
But you also are a very strong personality. And I wonder that, and it sounds like you're saying you do, but when the fight's going on, are you like, do you want to say like, this is not how we should be communicating? You know?
Oh, I do. Upset. I say all those things. I mean, I do. He knows. I mean, at least I think I say this is not healthy. This is not like even just recently we had an argument and it all stemmed from like our kids' basketball. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this basketball is a big distractor in our happiness as a family, as a whole. I was like, we need to dial it back. And, you know, we fight and it goes. And then days later, we're like, you know,
he pulls after a stick out.
We've seen penis and balls and everything. Then it's like, yeah, I don't think we need to do this tonight and go to practice and this and that. I think we need to scale it back. I'm like, okay.
Oh, I see. So there's a rhythm to it.
There's.
So you know, even when it's
you
bad.
You know Donald. I mean,
you know. I don't have a lot of experience of Donald ever going, ever, hey, I want to reach out. This is awkward and uncomfortable, but I was out of line and I'm sorry. I don't have any experience of that.
No, I mean, and not to be arrogant, but I honestly believe there's times that y'all's friendship probably would have never lasted this long had I not been in the equation.
No, it's true. It's true because he's never the one to say that. You've been the one to be like, y'all need to talk.
Yeah. And that's what I told him the other day when we were talking about something else. I was like, I have no problem going with my tail between my legs. I don't get embarrassed. I have no shame to be the one that says this, or even not even to my husband, like even if it's a third party, I have no problem to be like, guys, sorry, I blew this out of proportion. I'm the reason this whole fight happened. Mm. Like, let's get past this for the kids. Like, it's my fault. I sometimes I'll take the blame just so we can all communicate about it, and which is not healthy, probably.
No, but because doesn't that build resentment? Because after a while, you're like, I always fucking am the one who ends the fight. I'm always the one who puts my tail between my legs.
But I also just like it when everyone's happy.
Right. But you know during those 3 days where there's tension and you're not talking, do you ever want to be like, hey, this is so stupid. Can we just talk this out? Like, I don't want to be in silent treatment mode.
Sometimes, but then sometimes I'm like, whatever. Go, good luck. You know, there's times where Donald's like, I want a divorce. I'm like, all right.
You'd be like, I want a divorce too.
Yeah, but
don't even act like you don't be saying shit like that. Oh yeah, I hate you. I want a divorce. Let's do it.
But that's what I say now. But there was a time, say a year ago, when you were like, let's get a divorce. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna divorce you. I'm like, good luck. Good luck doing all the manual labor to get to the point where you've got to divorce me. Because I'm the one that's gonna have to file for you.
Trying to call a lawyer and organize a call with a lawyer. I can't picture it.
Yeah. So
he'd be like, babe, can you call a lawyer for me?
But also, guys, I have to say, and I'm very grateful for this. We've never had a fight that wasn't over stupid shit. Like, we've never had like some real crazy marriage doomsday fight. At least I don't think so. The fights we have are like stupid shit.
Can we pivot to a different topic, Casey? One more question for you that came up today. This has nothing to do with your life. We were wondering what percentage of women at their bachelorette parties are actually hooking up with men. Do you think that it's higher, even, or less than men?
Less. I've been to at least 8 or 9, and I've never experienced anything like that. Okay. The bachelorette parties I've gone to, even with the dudes there doing the dances and all that stuff, it's more of the cringe. Like, all the girls are in the corner like, that's
Hold on. That's Casey's group of people.
That's your group of friends.
let's not act all of a sudden hold on now. This is a different demographic.
Okay. Yeah, you know I don't trust those.
Casey's
the
type of person that's like, a fucking bachelorette party.
All right. Thank you, Casey.
P.S. I just had a 4-hour breakfast with Gudge, and I'm just happy about life in general now.
Aww. All right. That's awesome.
Right. We love seeing her. Okay. Bye,
Zach,
guys.
I love you, Zach. I love you.
What a sweetheart.
He married well. He just has to show her his penis.
Jesus Christ.
Lord, I've seen what you've done for
all you
got to
do is, basically your recipe is ignore for 3 days and then whip out your penis.
I want a magical penis and just solve problems.
Not for real. What the fuck?
You must have a magical penis.
That shit be working.
Well, we all doubted you, Donald, when you said that your penis solves all your marital problems.
Wow. Look at the smile on this man's face.
Let's finish up. The newsletter's a lie. Lucy runs out of underwear, and so she wears a bathing suit to work. Turk is auditioning new friends. The funniest one of all was Todd, who says that he's ready to take their relationship to the next level physically.
And he said, did you say physically? He goes, weird five.
And then he goes, get there. And then he winks.
Get there and winks. I'm glad that Todd is still around.
Yeah, Todd should be in more of the show, by the way.
I know, right? And look, if we're going to introduce new characters, let's at least bring back some of the old ones for more than just their typical line.
By the way, Joelle said the show should be told from Drew's point of view. I think it should be told from Todd's point of view.
That's a dangerous show. No. The fact that Todd is allowed to work at this space.
Yeah, you're right. He's a seasoning. Yes. You don't want, it's nice to have a little salt. You don't want all salt.
No.
All right. Elliot goes home after talking to a patient and Lucy loses faith in her. Snore. Lucy banged her boyfriend while talking to her dad and said it was the most turned on she's ever been.
Lucy, a freak.
Like a vault. And then
that moment right there, I thought to myself, Elliot should be able to relate to this shit because her freak flag is way more than Lucy's is. So when she said that, I expected Elliot to be like, oh, well, there was this one time. You know what I mean?
Yes. But yes, I was so confused by the dynamic between these two women. Like, Elliot is classic. And she always like this bleeding heart for her students where she's like, I really want them to like me and I hope. And so it was conflicting because on the one hand, I was like, oh, maybe this is showing a lot of growth in Elliot in that, you know, she's like, no, it's got to be about me. We remember from the original Scrub series, like, I want to be a mom. I'm not sure I want to be a doctor all my life. I will have to take my, like, so the end result sort of worked for me. But the initial part, like, I really think Elliot would understand Lucy in a much more intimate way so quickly. They have so much in common. I was confused.
They're the same freaking character, pretty much. You know frickin', what I mean?
It's like
they put JD and Elliot and smashed them together and made Lucy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All of it's very clear that that's what they did, and it would have been. And she is more like Elliot than she is JD. You know what I mean? Her fantasies are Elliot. You know what I mean? But she does fantasize like JD did. Mm. You know, it's very upsetting in a lot of ways because it's like we could have went so many other ways. We could have just made it so that this is a completely different show with completely new characters, but we're trying to recreate the same shit over and over again.
All
in
right.
Every episode, though, too. It's all not right. Like just one episode. It's every episode. So that being said, we should probably get to the letters. Eat these balls, Zach. Eat these balls, Zach. Fuck your sound effects machine.
Right? Steve Aoki who?
Okay. Are we going to letters?
Oh, wow.
All right, let's go to break, and then when we come back, we'll play the Joelle Monique is Down to Get Down song because we know it's an audience favorite. This commercial right here changed my life.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Have you tried the new Target Circle? It's the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. And try the new Target Circle 360. It's for the VIP Target shoppers. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
And we're back.
We're so back.
Get the word out all over the town. Joelle Monique is down to get down. No matter what's between your legs, tomorrow morning you could be making an X. Joelle Monique is down to get down. Oh yeah. Joelle Monique is down to get down.
And there's the Joelle song. Thank you, Daniel, for playing that. All right, Joelle, let's go to letters.
All right, Daniel.
Okay, everybody ready?
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Jeff Richmond from Columbia, Maryland, and I'm calling in to talk about how I love the episode My New Girl Bro. And I'll make this very quick, but there are four reasons why I really like this episode. I do like that we still get to see the funny but heartfelt dynamic relationship between JD and Turk. I really do think it's rare in life to have such a close friend. And at the end of the episode, Dr. Cox told Turk how rare it was to be able to work with your best friend. And that to me meant a lot, because having friends at work makes the day so much better. The second thing is that I love that Dr. Cox treats Lucy the same way that he treated JD during the entire series. That line about the dumb shadow was extremely funny, and it really honors the core of the show and the relationship between JD and Dr. Cox, and also how they're able to transfer that relationship to Dr. Cox and Lucy as well. Third, how Lucy looks up to Dr. Reed. This episode really celebrates strong, powerful, and professional women working in a traditionally male-dominated field, and I think this entire episode did a great job with this. But specifically, you know, we were able to see the point of view from a young lady looking up to an older female in the same profession with more experience in that industry. And as I rewatched this season, you know, when I watched it first, I was single with no kids, and now I have two young children and a wife, and I was able to kind of see how my wife was able to make changes in her life and her professional career as we started having children. So I was able to relate to that a lot. And then finally, I think one of the best gags of the entire show, that's right, I said it, when at the very end Cole says, "You suck, Zimmerman." I think that whole joke about there being class rankings and ended up being the ranks based on their alphabetical last name. And his last name was Double A Aronson. And that bit right there, I think, is extremely funny. And thank you. Those are my quick tidbits.
Thank you, Jeff.
Boom.
Jeff. Okay.
Jeff, I like you and you sound like a nice man. I just don't agree with you.
There you go.
But, you know, he made some good points.
Yeah, but they're points about the old show, though. They're the point. All of the points are talking about how this show reminds him of the old show.
Yeah, you can still see her longing for the original. But
I think Joelle, asked someone in her building who's a nice person to watch episode 6 and be like, do me a favor. We can't get anyone to say anything positive. Jeff, remember when I watched your cat?
Right, Jeff did write in about another episode, and I said, "Hey, would you like to say something nice about episode 6?" And he so kindly sent in this voicemail. So we appreciate you, Jeff.
Jeff, we appreciate you.
We totally appreciate you.
You're great.
The fact that
we needed you, Jeff. We needed you.
The fact that anyone can find
help us, Jeff Richmond. You're our only hope.
Help us, Jeff Richmond.
I like this, Zach.
Yeah. Dig up a system. Dig up a system.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm going to fucking come.
Oh, God.
Yes. Take it down a notch. Oh, my God. We have one more voicemail from
Tito. That's how easy it is to get you to come. I could fucking do that shit so easy. Yoda. Yoda. Come on, baby. Dig up a. You got this. You got this.
I'm deeply disturbed by what's happening right now.
Ewokies. Okay. Yub nub. Itchiki. Why celebrate the life.
Leg kicking out, Donald! Wow.
Audience, the Ewokies song made his leg kick out. So I'm gonna text Casey some techniques.
It's Hallelujah, first of all.
Zach, I love you.
I'm gonna sing Casey the song so she knows what to do next round. Next time y'all have a fight and you get ignored for 3 days, just sing Ewokies.
Just say that you don't even have to get ignored for 3 days. And when he whips out his penis, you don't even have to touch it. Just go,
say, yup, 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 chicky, why celebrate the life?
Yup, 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 hallelujah, yup, yup.
All right, play this fucking thing.
You ready for the next
this
one?
This is from Tamika, the teacher.
Oh, we love Tamika. Tamika.
Could have been a surprise. All right, here it is.
Hi, everybody. This is Tamika. Thank you for inviting me back. For episode 2, I don't know if you remember, I did the highlights and lowlights of that episode. For episode 5, I did what's working and what's not working. I'm not sure if you heard that because I don't think I got it to Joelle in time. But for episode 6, I'm going to do what I noticed and what I wonder. So what I noticed as I was watching this is that I'm still laughing as I'm watching this episode. So that means the writing is still working. And I think specifically what's working is those moments of unpredictable humor. I'm thinking about early in the episode when Elliot, who looked beautiful, is talking to Turk and goes, "He misses you too." And Turk turns to the side and you hear the blah, 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 blah. Could not have predicted that was coming. That made me laugh. When Lucy's telling the story about how her sister has to have sex with her fiance for the first time, I was just sitting there listening. And then she dropped the, "In case the stripper got her pregnant," could not have predicted that. Yeah, had Denise started her rant toward Cole with, "I'm going to get a sock and put nickels in it," I would have known she was going to end it with beating him with it because I have brothers. Like, I know how that goes. So it was unpredictable and funny for me when she started out with a jar and then still ended up with beating him with it. So I think it's those unpredictable moments that are really still making me laugh. So good on paper for sure. So what I wonder, since something still isn't quite right, is the first thing I wonder is if med school was the right setting. Watching people learn to do things isn't that exciting. Watching people do the damn thing is way more fun. I think about, like, and I haven't seen Rocky like the way dudes have seen Rocky, but I feel like we don't spend a whole lot of time watching him get ready to fight. We spend a ton of time watching him fight. And so I think we don't want to spend a whole lot of time watching these kids learn to doctor. We want to watch these kids doctor, just like we did with the first group of characters. And then I also wonder who the target audience was. And I just want to also point out that, like, I recognize med school was a way to keep some of the original players engaged while bringing in some new people. But I think it could have been fine just to have them be the next crop of residents coming into the hospital and having the existing characters be doctors in that hospital who were truly doing cameos. Because let's face it, y'all are not doing cameos. Target audience. I'm wondering who the target audience is, because the existing audience, those existing fans, we had been watching that show for like 6, 7, 8 years. We were well past college age, I think. And college kids aren't that exciting to watch unless you're in college, maybe if you're in high school. So I don't know. Like, I'm curious about who the target was, not you, but who the target was, considering that and considering that it was set in med school. I wonder what the audience investment would have been if Denise or Drew had been the main character, because I know I have found myself wondering what was going on in their head. Like, what would their voiceover have been? I don't really care what Lucy's voiceovers are. I don't know why. I just don't. I do have to give some credit to Cole. I got to give credit where credit's due. He was funny for like 2.5 seconds. It was when Drew was late rounds. I don't know. And he goes, "Nice of you to join us, Drew," to call Cox's attention to it.
And then Cox says something and he goes optional. And right there, you can see the whole switch where like his eyes droop and his voice changes to that like, oh, bro, I gotta go. You know, he's now like that late 90s Limp Bizkit fan, bro. And I know you're probably waiting for me to say no shade, but I'm not going to say it. That was shady and I meant it. But he's so predictable when that's his delivery and when he's in that mode. And predictable is just not funny. And I wish someone had given him that note. So those are all of the things that I wonder. And amazing. I wonder if those things were different, if maybe there would have been some chemistry between what was good on paper and what was going on the screen, and we could have gotten some more seasons. So that's it from me.
Thank you,
Let me
Tamika.
Know your thoughts. And thank you for the shout out the other week. My mother is convinced I'm famous. Bye.
Well, I really appreciate you, Tamika. Really very, very nice and very nice analysis from Tamika. I really like the way she puts time and effort. Go ahead. Oh, she was wrong about Rocky. There's a lot of
She's
training in Rocky.
Completely wrong about Rocky.
Yeah.
Rocky is the ultimate movie of training is the hype. That's the right. That's the hype before dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun fucking beef.
What about Rocky 4 when they're showing the difference?
Well, he's
got
to do it in Russia. Now you got to do it in Russia, Rocky. Yeah, now you got to do it in Russia.
Got to flip tires.
First you had to do it in Philadelphia, in the Philadelphia hood. Then fucking Paulo was like, nah, fuck that. We going to LA. And you had to do it with the brothers. And then to beat Mr. T, then you had to do it in Russia, Rocky. You had to do it in Russia. And you had to train there too. So I'm just saying.
All right. Well, thank you, Tamika. I did like what you said. I didn't know what she was talking about with the jars thing. Is she mistaking another episode?
No. So in the scene where Cole says some shit and Turk says, I can't right now. Denise, will you handle this? She says, absolutely. She goes, we're going to take all of your little dumb things that you say. And we're going to put it in a jar, a nice big jar. And we're going to fill that little jar up with all of your dumb things. And when that jar is filled, I'm going to take it and I'm going to beat you over the head with it, pretty much.
Oh, I must have blocked that out. All right. Thank you, Tamika. Thank you, Jeff. That was really great. Joelle, thank you for helping us find those awesome calls.
Shout out, Joelle. Mm-hmm.
Audience, thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us. If you get in a fight with your partner, we don't endorse just taking out your penis.
It depends on how long y'all been together for.
It depends, but we do want it. We do have anecdotal information that for some couples it does work.
Listen, my wife gets the joke. She leans in with it. We fight over dumb shit, and we don't fight over real shit because we don't argue about that stuff for some reason. We fight over things that are. I can't believe we just had an argument and said, I want to get divorced over this dumb shit. You know what I mean? Like,
well, listen,
I don't know. I don't know about you guys and how you are with your partners, but, you know, I know you're going to try and. It works for us. And thank God, she freaking gets me.
My only recommendation at all, and take it from someone who's not in a relationship. So I don't really have any fucking leg to stand on, would be that maybe you wouldn't do the full 3 days of ignoring each other, but suck it up and be like, I'm sorry, sooner.
Where's the fun in that, though? You know what I mean?
The like, fun? What is I hate being in a silent treatment with anyone in my life.
There's no, it doesn't work that way. I wish it did work that way. But you got to be in your feelings also, man. I got to let my wife have her time to be angry with me. I don't want to try and, you know what I mean? This shit is forever. You know what I mean? So if she's going to be angry with me for a day, I want to allow her to have that shit. Fuck it. You want to be mad at me? Be mad at me. And when you do have some shit to say, you're going to say that shit. And we're going to argue and we're going to fight about that shit. but we're also going to make love and we're going to make up. You know what I mean? This is forever. This isn't, you know what I mean? She said something that's true. We've yet to have a fight, and I hope we never have a fight about some bullshit that's a real threat to our marriage. We fight about dumb shit. Like, that's my sock. Yeah, so fucking what? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's dumb shit. That's not gonna destroy what, I hope it doesn't destroy what we have. I hope our marriage is stronger than that. I don't want to fucking jinx it. Anyway, my point is, you know, to each his own.
You guys have a thing that works. That's what we hear. And we appreciate you being so candid with us. And that's our show. Count us out.
Do or do not. There is no try.
I whipped out my penis and said that before too.
Oh, oh my
five,
God.
5, 6, 7, 8
stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said here's a story that we all should know.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at target.com/circlecard.